Okay, everybody. See you all online. Okay, just an announcement for all of you online. And I'll be sending it out to the conference, the WhatsApp conference, is that for the next two nights, that is, or two mornings, depending if you're in Australia or New Zealand, we're not going to have the class at the regular time because I'm going to be doing a seminar. So if any of you want to attend the seminar, it's going to be a seminar on empathic communication. It's going to be an hour later than this time, depending on where you are. So you can tune in an hour later. I'll send a note out on the WhatsApp group for everybody. So that's going to be a seminar with a lot of people, but you'll be able to watch what's happening an hour later. Okay, I think everybody understands that. And so we're going to start the class, even though this is like the Sunday feast and everybody's just wandering in. We're also having a birthday party, not for me. The birthday party is for a devotee named Kabir, who is now going to be 18 years old. And he's an adult, so he doesn't have to listen to his parents anymore.
He's Kabir.
That's the... Yeah, I know. I know Kabir.
If you don't know him, that's good for you.
18, so he's free as a bird now to do anything he wants. Of course, you still have to go to the university. You still have to listen to your parents. And still have to do everything... Right, so I don't know how much difference it makes. But anyway, it's a milestone in someone's life to turn 18. I remember when I was 18, I guess because we are in Nepal, I can take off my mask for the class. When I was 18, I was at the university, actually my second year of university when I was 18. I was very intelligent, progressive. And when I was 20 or 21, I decided to dedicate my life completely to Krishna consciousness, much to the chagrin of my parents. My parents were completely opposed to my joining Krishna consciousness. My mother threatened to kill herself. And she still hasn't done so. She's 92 years old. And my father was very upset. He offered me hundreds of thousands of dollars to leave. He was getting into the system of bribery. I didn't take the bribe and I decided to stay because Prabhupada bribed me more with eternal life full of knowledge. So Prabhupada had the greatest bribe, isn't it? I mean, what's a little bit of money? Money's not important. Because when you get old, you can't buy back your youth. You can try to get some Botox injections. Anyone know what Botox injections are? That means when you get old, the people put these injections into their skin to even the wrinkles out. But still, you're an old person. And then once you're dead, you're dead. So I wanted to have eternal life full of blessed knowledge, and so nobody could give me enough money to convince me not to accept that. If you had a balance, like eternal life full of blessed knowledge versus billions and billions and trillions of dollars, the eternal life would win in any case. So that's what I did when I was 21, 18. I left home when I was 17 to go to the university. And one thing about going to the university for all you young people, it's a real challenge because there's a lot of social pressure to be a demon. It is. I mean, if you really want to have friends, you gotta, what? You gotta drink, you gotta smoke, you gotta party. Otherwise people make fun of, oh, what are you doing? I was fortunate because I was never interested in any of those things. I didn't party, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything except for study. I was very boring. in my college years. Krishna protected me. So you have to remain fixed in your determination when you go to the university, not to be dragged into the modern, let's say, American or Western or Krishna. It's also in India, too. If you go to Calcutta, Delhi, it's all the same thing. I was talking to one of my disciples who went to IIT Delhi, and he said it's exactly the same thing as America. So one has to be very determined because there's so much social pressure, and when you're young, social pressure and friends are so important to you, isn't it? Because you really need friends. When you're old, you don't need friends. But when you're young, because you understand that Krishna is your friend and he's always with you. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokmaheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatva mamshanti richati. But when you're young, it's just like social pressure. I gotta conform. It's very important. Nobody likes me. I'm so lonely. And so you gotta have friends amongst the devotees. That's the solution. So that'll protect you at the university. Because it is quite dangerous. Like Prabhupada would sometimes call the university or the modern system of education to be like a slaughterhouse. A slaughterhouse in the sense that your spiritual life gets slaughtered and the regulated principles get slaughtered at that particular point. So anyway, with that in mind, I think we'll have... But you could remain fixed. I was fixed in the university. Nobody could disturb me. I wasn't interested in social pressure. I was simply interested in studying and understanding. I went to the university to try to understand what the purpose of life was. And by the time I got out of the university, I still didn't understand what the purpose of life was until I came in contact with this divine grace of Prabhupada. Then I actually understood things. But all my studies in the university, what I learned was how to make an atom bomb, number one. How to psychologically analyze people, number two. What else did I learn? Did I learn anything else? Oh my God. So many years in the university, I didn't learn anything. Anyway, so there was only one course in the whole university that I didn't do well in. And that was dance. So those of you who do Bharatanatyam dance, don't ask me to participate with you. Because I went in to attend this course and I discovered that I was the only boy in the course. And I was scared. And I ran away. So, anyway. So on that happy note, just be careful. So let's chant a little bit. Oops. And then we got a lot of people online. And tomorrow I am going to Chicago. And the reason I'm going to Chicago, we're doing a seminar on empathic communication in Chicago at someone's house. And we're going to probably have about 30 people there and another 100 online. It's going to be very well attended. And you're all invited to watch. It's going to be on my YouTube channel. It's going to be on my Facebook page. It's also going to be on my Zoom link. So if anyone wants to watch, you can watch. I don't know if you can participate, but you can watch. And that's going to be Monday night and Tuesday night in Chicago. And then we're back here on Wednesday. And then next week, next Sunday is Lord Balaram's appearance day. We're having a big program for that. I think a lot of the devotees are taking initiation. Some people in Australia, some people here, right? And I had so many in Fiji. There's about 20 or 30 in Fiji. I had to schedule for a different day. So I'm scheduling that for Saturday during our normal class time. So we won't become so overwhelmed because there's a lot of people in Fiji and it's their Balaram's appearance day. When it's Saturday here, it's Sunday there. So we have a lot of festivities coming up and then a week later we have Janmashtami, right? And Janmashtami will be a big program. And also, we ask everyone to remain safe and observe social distancing, masks, vaccination if you're old enough to get a vaccination. I have a very interesting interview I did with a doctor, another health caregiver, on the internet, in my Facebook page, and also on YouTube, which is about vaccination. What's the benefit, you know, outweighing the risks of being vaccinated. So I don't know if any of you are anti-vaxxers here, but the risk is a lot more from getting this Delta variant of the COVID virus. And ultimately, because it's so, I don't know if this is topic for class, ultimately, because it's so contagious, everyone's gonna be exposed to it. It's just like going everywhere. I mean, America, I mean, what can I say? Many of the hospitals, the ICUs are filled up right now. So it's better to take precautions because it's a dangerous world. Okay, let's chant a little bit. Maybe we'll chant something a little bit different like I chanted this morning. Do we have a drum player here? We could let Rasanandas here or no? Oh. Thank you.
God. Paramahansa Parivrikacharya Ositara Satashi Shimad.
His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskans Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nandakoki Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Vedas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaura Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopana Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Navadiptam Ki Jai Jagrat Puridam Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shimani Lasti Devi Ki Jai Sambhita Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Gaur Premananda All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go, Premananda. Lava Om Vishnu Padai Krishna Prasthaya Mudale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari. Vibhasesha Shinivadi Paschacha Deja Tari. So Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshun and Minikam Yena Tasmai. Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So normally, at this time every evening, we are doing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm not going to read tonight, but I'm going to talk about it. Subject matter that we've been dealing with in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this subject matter has to do with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meeting one of his intimate associates and chastising him for being a Mayavadi and dressing improperly. And I'm going to generalize this to what's called the Atmarama verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here's the story that we just read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once upon a time, one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyasi, actually be like a guru, not godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru, Keshava Bharati. The person's name was Brahmananda Bharati. So Brahmananda Bharati came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. And his name was Brahmananda. So does anyone know? The name Brahmananda means to take bliss in Brahman. So sometimes some of Prabhupada's godbrothers criticized Prabhupada for calling one of his disciples Brahmananda. And they said, why should you call him Brahmananda? Because Brahmananda means to take bliss in Brahman, and we're actually taking bliss in Bhagavan, Krishna, rather than the impersonal Brahman. So Prabhupada explained that Brahman has three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabyate. So when we're talking about Brahman, what is the word Brahman? It means the greatest. That's interesting, isn't it? That's what the word actually means, Brahman, the greatest thing. Therefore, the impersonalists are actually wrong in their whole understanding, because they say the Brahman can be covered by what? Maya. So they're saying the greatest is covered by something greater, which doesn't make sense logically, in case any of you were interested in logic. So then they are saying Maya is the greatest rather than Brahman is the greatest. That's their logical fallacy, in case you ever wanted to feed an impersonalist. Anyway, so Brahmananda Bharati came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wasn't there. One of the devotees said, Brahmananda Bharati has come, and Lord Chaitanya said, I want to see him. He's as good as my guru. Because he was the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru. So Lord Chaitanya went to see him, and in front of him was Brahmananda Bharati, but Brahmananda Bharati was dressed in deerskin. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't see Brahmananda Bharati. He's not there in front of me. And the devotee said, he's right there. And Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual preceptor, Ramananda Bharati, would never be dressed in deer skin. Because why would someone dress in deer skin? Well, the Vedas say that a sannyasi should dress in deer skin, so here's my deer skin. It's not imitation deer skin, it's whatever. But the reason for that was for many, many years ago, thousands or millions of years ago, when there was no cloth. So you had to dress with something. You didn't want to walk around naked, right? That's not a good idea, especially with the mosquitoes. You can get a little touchy. So anyway, so you want to wear something in cold weather sometimes. So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, this personality is dressed in deer skin because he's proud. You know, sometimes people dress as a sannyasi just because they're proud. They want to take sannyasi because they want people to do what? Bow down to them and touch their feet. We were talking about this in class last night. That sometimes, you know, I am dressed as a sannyasi and sometimes people bow down, touch feet, ask for blessings, do all sorts of interesting things. So what is going on in my mind when that's happening? Am I thinking, this is wonderful. I am great. I am, as Ravana said, Lankapati, Sitapati, Nukalokapati. That's the problem, you know, the one actually starts to think that they're great after some time. No, I'm thinking that I'm a servant of my spiritual master and I'm accepting this service on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and my spiritual master. And that's why I dress like this, and that's why I accept, you know, sometimes there's some offerings and people say nice things about me. I'm not thinking, wow, so finally they've understood about me. This is just like my childhood when my mother thought I was the greatest thing since Swiss cheese. Isn't it? Mothers actually think the child, you can ask that of some of the mothers here. You think your child's the best thing in the world, right? Yes. So, mothers think like that. So my mother thought like that, but then after I got 18, just like we have someone turning 18, she never thought like that anymore. So, not that I think like that about myself when people start appreciating me, it's all accepting service on behalf of Krishna. So this particular individual, Brahmananda Bharati, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not criticizing, Lord Chaitanya said, that he was proud, just exhibiting his opulence of wearing deer skin. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I don't recognize him like this. And Brahmananda Bharati gave up that particular vesh, that particular dress. And then he dressed like a normal sannyasi. Okay. And then Lord Chaitanya said, now I can see you. And then Brahmananda Bharati understood that he was very proud. And not only that, he understood that previously he thought that impersonalism, that is Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, meditating on the impersonal Brahman, was actually the best thing. And that's why he became proud. But then he said, since I have seen, actually I could read this one verse before I go on to this other verse, which is really interesting. Hold on a second. Yeah, here, it's a verse from the Bhagavatam. Although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I have nonetheless been forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. What does that mean? That means, let me read the Amaranda verse and you'll understand what that means. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, seventh chapter, text 10. I haven't memorized, but I'm going to read it anyway, just to make sure I get every word precisely right. Atmaramascha munio nigranta piyo rukrame kuvrantya haituki bhaktim itambhuta gunao hari. And the translation is, it's a statement by Suta Goswami, that all different varieties of atmaramas, and I'll explain what atmaramas means in a second, especially those established on the path of self-realization, although freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So, what is an Atmarama? Atma means the self, right? It can also mean the body, but in this particular context, I'm going to use that particular definition. And Rama means to enjoy. Radha Ramana Hari. Actually, some of the acharyas describe that the Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Radha Ramana. Did you know that? Radha Ramana. They describe Balaram, Lord Ram, and Radha Ramana. Those are the three descriptions of the Ram. And it's all the same anyway, because it's Dvaita Chuta Nadi Ananta Rupa Badyam Purusham Navayovanam Cha. So anyway, so Ram means to enjoy. Radha Raman. So Atmaram means to enjoy the self. So because we have a misconception of the self, we think to enjoy the self means to enjoy the body, right? Like to eat varieties of different tasty food. Hopefully it's prasadam. And to see different things. Just like I was talking to someone on the internet the other day, and they were saying, this is a darshan I was having with devotees in Europe. What about someone who just simply wants to travel all over Europe and see all the places in Europe? And I was saying, that's kind of silly, isn't it? What good does it do to go see a big clock in the UK, you know, Big Ben? I've seen Big Ben. What good does it do to see the Eiffel Tower? What good does it do to go to Alaska and see the icebergs? I can see a piece of ice floating in a glass of water for free. It's the same thing, isn't it? You just look close, and there's no difference between seeing an iceberg and seeing a glass with ice in it. So what good is it? So, but we think, you know, the whole point of this material world is to rub different things on the senses, on the eyes, nose. Unless you have COVID, you can't smell anything. And especially Dharmate, Chiwayati, Lobamoy, Sudurmate. What does that mean? The tongue. And anyway, so we think that that's ourself, so we're Atmarama. There's no problem with being an Atmarama, but that's the wrong Atma to Rama with. It's an interesting expression, wrong Atma. It's the first time I thought of that one. So, and then other people have the conception of the mind. And so they really enjoy studying different things, finding out different. That was my Maya before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I used to read the encyclopedia to study everything in the encyclopedia. I really enjoyed it. So, and so that's not the Atma that you want to run with. And some people think to merge into the impersonal Brahman, but that's not even an Atma. That's Niratma, is to get rid of the Atma. So you can't Atma Ram there. So the only way you can enjoy your Atma or self is to understand who the self or what the self is. And so getting back to the point, these impersonalists, Mayavadis, Brahmavadis, whatever, they think the self is just pure spirit and I am God, you're God, we're all God, and the ultimate goal is to merge into God. And they can't really enjoy. They become very morose. But if they're sincere, when they're exposed to Krishna in some way or other, what happens? Then they take up Krishna consciousness. This proves that Krishna consciousness or Krishna is transcendental, because they were not interested in the gross sense gratification, means the five senses, or even the mind, manasat, stani, indriyani, prakriti, stani, karshati. But they were interested in spirit, pure spirit. But if those people who are interested in pure spirit, who have no attachment to anything in this world, they are attracted to Krishna, and then they become devotees. That proves the truth, that Krishna consciousness is transcendental to impersonalism. You know, many people think Hinduism is just impersonal. You can worship any god, all gods lead to the same place. It's like saying all roads lead to the same place. Their GPS is really off. You know, all gods know they, you know, Krishna says, Yanti Deva Vrataha Devan, Vitra Yanti Vitra Vrataha. You worship the demigods, you go to the demigods. And you worship me, you go to Krishna. So it just depends. You buy a ticket for Chicago, which I'm going to tomorrow, I go to Chicago. If I buy a ticket for India, I go to India. It's not that all planes go. Can you imagine I go to the airport and they say, you know, where do you want to go? And I say, it doesn't matter. All the planes go to the same destination. They'll say, we're going to take you away or something like that. You're crazy. They'll call 911 on me. So really, it's not a fact that all planes go to the same destination or all spiritual paths go to the same destination. So Krishna attracts even those who are simply absorbed in Brahman or just normal Hinduism. So I'm going to tell a few stories that illustrate that fact. One story is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jiva Dharma. Once upon a time, there was a sannyasi, and he was chanting in Benares, a place in Mayavadis, and he was absorbed in Brahman. He was a Paramahamsa Brahmavadi. That means, Paramahamsa means topmost swan-like, topmost personality, completely absorbed. And he was absorbed in Brahman, and he was simply thinking, Aham Brahmasmi, because the Mayavadis have these different, what's called Mahavakyas. Aham Brahmasmi, Tatvamasi. Anyone's heard about that before? Tatvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. Tatvamasi means you are that. And that's from the Chandogya Upanishad, which is true. We are that. We are of the same nature as God, but we are not of the same quantity as God. The same quality, not the same quantity. So he was chanting that and feeling completely peaceful, had no material desires. And then while he was chanting, some Hare Krishna devotee from Hillsborough came. No, I made that up. And he came by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And the sannyasi was thinking, I'm feeling so much happiness. What's happening? I've never felt this happy. I've never felt happy before. I felt peaceful, but not happy. And so he's too shy to ask this devotee what's he doing, but he keeps hearing the Maha Mantra, and then eventually, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagwan Jim Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhakti Lata Bhish. That the seed of devotion grows in his heart and he goes to Mayapur and becomes a pure devotee and eventually gets the name Vaishnava Das. And that's a story in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jiva Dharma. And there's some stories in the Bhagavatam too. Shukadeva Goswami himself, the main speaker of the Bhagavatam, was a Brahmavadi before. He wasn't criticizing God. There's a difference between Mayavadi and Brahmavadi, just to make it very clear. A Mayavadi says God is Maya. His personality and form is all Maya or illusion. A Brahmavadi is something like an agnostic. I love the Brahman. I don't know anything about God. You know, he's just innocent, more innocent. So Shukadeva Goswami was like that. And his father, of course, was Srila Vyasadeva. Pretty good dad, isn't it? His father was Srila Vyasadeva. And he didn't want to come out of his mother's womb because he was afraid of falling in Maya. Because when you come out of your mother's womb, everybody looks at you and pinches your cheek and gives you a birthday party. Isn't it? You're so adorable. Isn't she cute? Isn't it? And you have the child. So here's your child. Isn't he cute? Oh, he's so adorable. He has your cheeks and your nose and my hair. That's called Maya. So anyway, so Shukadeva was thinking, you know, you become the center of everything. Just like we're having a birthday party in the center. So anyway, of course, we sannyasis have Vyas Puja parties to be the center of everything, but that's it. So it's called second childhood. So Sri Ram Goswami was thinking, I don't want to come out because, you know, I'm going to be in Maya. I want to think of Brahman. So he remained in his mother's womb. There's some of the stories that say he remained for 16 years. That's a major pregnancy there, isn't it? I guess they didn't have C-sections then. So 16 years he's within his mother's womb, and everybody's worried. What can be done? So then Krishna had to talk to him, and then his father, and then he heard the Bhagavatam, and he came out immediately, 16 years old. But he didn't get into having his cheeks pinched. He just, as soon as he was born, now don't try that at home. As soon as he was born, he ran away from home. And his father was crying out, oh, my son, oh, my son. Because, you know, you wait 16 years, you don't really want to have something to show for it. You can't even enjoy the little baby pastimes, the Damodar pastimes of your children. It's actually fun. This is a sannyas class. So anyway, So he was running after his son, and Shukadeva Goswami, he's a great mystic also. It's described in the Bhagavatam that he uses mystic powers to clone himself. And he created a duplicate that his father could take home with him. Pretty good, isn't it? And so his father took home another Shukadeva, and his father was happy. And the real Shukadeva, he runs, doesn't even take any trouble putting clothes on. And he's absorbed in Krishna. Of course, he does come back and hear Bhagavatam from his father at a certain point. This is before he actually spoke. It's not that he immediately ran to speak to Shukadeva, to Maharaj Pariksit. But before he spoke the Bhagavatam, he did take a Bhagavatam class from his father. And then he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam at 16 years of age to Pariksit Maharaj, as Pariksit Maharaj was getting ready to leave this mortal world. So there's one example of how someone who was absorbed in Brahman was attracted to Krishna. And he didn't want to leave or lose his position of being absorbed in Brahman. And the final story I'm going to tell is the story of the Chatushana, the four Kumaras. Four Kumaras, everybody knows they're the sons of Lord Brahma. And so they were also absorbed in Brahman, not devotees at this particular point. And they also objected to the possibility of falling into Maya. Of course, they were already born. So Lord Brahma, he told them, you should get married. And they said, what? Anyone know? They said, no, no, Dad. Now, remember, you're dealing with a good culture here where children listen to parents until they're 18. Sorry about that. No, children listen to parents. And especially Lord Brahma's kids. They said, no, Dad, because we want to remain absorbed in Brahman. And Lord Brahma got so angry that 11 rudras came out of his head, his anger. 11 rudras. That's a manifestation or expansion of Lord Shiva. And these 11 rudras, rudra means, it's from the word rudra, in this particular case, which means anger. So these 11 rudras started to destroy the universe before it was actually time to destroy the universe. And Lord Brahma was thinking, I got to do something about my kids here, you know. You know, what am I going to do? Not the kids, but the rudras. And so what he did with the 11 rudras, he got them married to 11 rudranis. And they said, okay, we'll take it easy right now. And the four Kumaras, okay, say, okay, now we can be nice Brahma bodies. And Dad won't disturb us anymore. He learned his lesson. Lord Brahma learned his lesson, you know, not to get angry at us because he gets angry and then the universe gets destroyed. So therefore what happened is that they were thinking, let us go one day. They were thinking, let us go to see Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha. And they could travel everywhere. They're great mystic yogis. So they went to the gates of Vaikuntha, as they say, the pearly gates. There's seven gates. Actually, this is even described in Christianity, the seven gates of Vaikuntha. And so guarding these gates were the two gatekeepers. What were the gatekeepers' names? Jai and Vijay. They were guarding the two gates, and they said, get out of here, kids. Go back to your mommies. And I'm adding a few little interesting details to the story. Go back. We're not letting you in. And the four Kumaras got very angry and said, we have not seen such behavior like this in devotees or the spiritual world. You belong in the material world. We curse you. Then the Lord Narayan comes out. At this point, there weren't devotees yet. But Lord Narayan comes out, and the four Kumaras, they smell the tulsi leaves and lotus flowers offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. And they go, uh-oh, Hare Krishna. And they become devotees like this. Instantaneous, because they were already above the bodily platform, the gross platform, the subtle mental platform. They were already absorbed in Brahman, so it just took a little bit to get them to be pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so at that point they became pure devotees, and of course you know the rest of the story with Jaya and Vijay. They got the opportunity to choose whether to be demons or devotees. And demons, they could go back to the spiritual world of Koithar. There's three births. Aranyakashipu, Aranyaksha, Dandavatra, and Shishupal, and Kumbhakarna, and Ravan. That would be fun to be Ravan, wouldn't it? Anyway, because part of the Lord's pastimes, because the Lord is enacting different pastimes with his devotees, and devotees are playing the part of demons. You're satisfying God. It's actually fun. Fun to be Robin. So these stories illustrate the point I was making, that devotional service is superior, and Krishna consciousness is superior to the impersonal conception of life. So all we have to do, and this, of course, is superior to the gross and subtle aspects of this material creation. So as devotees, all we have to do is present Krishna consciousness purely to people. You don't have to preach to people, just like saying, you got to give everything up, sarva dharma bricha ja, mami kam shadanam bricha hum tuam sarva papepyo, moksha yashami, masuncha. You don't have to be heavy with people. You simply have to give people the holy name, give people prasadam, give people the Prabhupada's books as an advertisement, paid for by Vishnu. So then give. He always reminds me when I look at him in book distribution. You have to give people Prabhupada's books, and then automatically Prabhupada said the poison will act. Just like we have this virus, right? Coronavirus. When you get the virus, it starts to replicate. First it affects your nose, right? Then it goes into your lungs. Now, we don't want that to happen. But with this Krishna conscious virus, first it goes... Bhavati Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. This is a verse by Lord Kapiladeva. It first goes into your ear instead of the nose. With the Kumaras, it went into the nose. The virus went into the nose. That's interesting, isn't it? Just like the virus. It's interesting. I just think about that. So with Shukadeva Goswami, it went into the ears. So generally, it goes through the ears. And there's a channel between the ears and the heart. And it enters the heart Bhavanti vritkarna rasayana katacha joshana dasu apavarga varmani shravatiya rakinukramishti. That's the bhakti lata bija right there. And then people naturally become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Like I've mentioned many times before, the first time I came in contact with Krishna consciousness was Prabhupada on the radio, listening to Prabhupada chant, and it went into my ear, went into the heart, and I became infected with the virus of Krishna consciousness. Another time I had a Krishna book, and I didn't understand what it was saying, but I was attracted to the young boy stealing butter and feeding it to the monkeys. So it went from the ear to the heart. And here I am today because of that. And that's all we really have to do, be instrumental in infecting everybody. And no social distancing. Anyways, because we can get out through the internet, through your mask. There's no protection for you. That's why Prabhupada said, when the books are circulated in society, the poison has entered society, and eventually people will actually come to Krishna consciousness. So this is the point, whether they're Mayavadis, whether they're gross sense enjoyers, whether they're intellectuals or whatever, it's simply a question of giving them the purity. Like Prabhupada sat down in Tompkins Square Park, and what did he do? He just chanted. There were a bunch of just like hippies or whatever they were. I cannot describe. He'd probably just chant it, and the holy names worked. And they became great devotees in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, on that happy note, yes, one question. Get the other microphone.
Into the atmosphere, and then the devotees, you know, because they weren't from, you know, Indian background, it was people from Western background, all of a sudden they would smell like the chants, or they would smell the prasadam. So there were people that actually did become attracted because the smell of the prasadam and the incense. And my own experience too is when I was in college, that it was many years before they had the traveling bus, and Vishnu Janana Swami, he was in some old school bus, and he came to Gainesville, but at that pond, and I remember like going on the bus, and there was like all the kirtan going on, and this big smell going on, and it just kind of like really brought me into another reality. So all the senses actually become attracted by Krishna.
That's very nice. Yeah, I remember when I first came to the temple, and the flower was offered to the deities, and I would just keep the flower by my nose for about 2 hours until all the petals fell off. Because the smell is actually Krishna. The taste of prasadam is actually Krishna. That's why when we take prasadam, we honor the prasadam, because the taste is actually Krishna. Okay, I think we should... Yes? Kachananda? Okay.
So very beautiful class, Maharaj. Thank you so much. That's one question I had. You mentioned about the capability of Chaturthi Goswami. He was in the state where he was able to clone himself.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's more detail on whether he actually picked the clone and whether the clone did go back and then definitely come back. How did that work?
Well, the clone actually went back to Vyasadeva. The clone actually got married later on and had children. And there was a whole dynasty. This is described in the Bhagavatam. Because it's commented on by the acharyas, because the dynasty is described, Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, and then who Shukadeva's children, like that. And it says this was a different Shukadeva. This was the clone of Shukadeva. Yeah, that's really what happened. The clone was actually a person. So the Vedic literatures describe, the Bhagavatam describes other incidents of cloning too, like Vena was cloned. Cloned into Prithu and Archie, and also where you have Maharaj Nimi He was cursed to die by a spiritual master, and they cloned his body, and they got the first Janaka out of that cloning. And later on, one of the Janakas, which was his descendants, became the father of Sita Devi. And that's why Mithila is called Mithila after Maitiya, which means churning. So cloning was actually well known in those days. Now, how they did it exactly, I'm sure it was by mantras and other methods like that. I'm sure it wasn't by little test tubes and things like that. I'm sure they figured out how to do it. But we think we're so advanced nowadays. They had atom bomb. I think much more, the Brahmastra weapon was much more advanced than the atom bomb. And they had airplanes, Vimana. And they had Vimanas that could travel so fast and change speed immediately. Even this demon Shalva, he had an airplane and he could make it invisible. Like nowadays they talk about these airplanes, or what is it called again when they can't be seen with radar? What is the name of that again? What? Stealth. So they had stealth airplanes at that particular time. You know, so nothing is new, except it was a much more refined technology that they were using. Not the grosser technology that we have today. But still, you know, you hear about all these different types of arrows that were fired, these mantra weapons. And by sound vibration, so many things can be done. Even there was something in Cuba where there was some sound weapon fired at the U.S. Embassy and people's brains got scrambled. So, don't worry about it. There's something else to worry about. One thing about, please, everybody try to take the vaccine, because one thing was mentioned to me by one healthcare professional is that if you get a severe case of COVID, even if you survive it, it puts 10 years on your brain. So with that in mind, please take precautions. Okay. I know that was a very sad way to end class. I think we should end now. And next week, we have Balaram's appearance day, same time, right? And then we're going to have an initiation, we're going to have Abhishek and other things, and Aditya Narayan Prabhu is going to make an announcement. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. So let's thank the Lord Hare Krishna Goswami Maharaj for a wonderful class.